This is Fuse Tea in 3D. Mouth-watering fruit, perfectly fused with botanicals and tea. Serve yourself a little me time with Fuse Tea. Listen to our ASMR Mind Tingles podcast.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
What you talking about, Willis? It's Shauna Gillis.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Megan the Slayer Taylor. Hit a homer with Jeffrey Bomer.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Hot dang! It's Jessica Dang.
Sarah Greenwood. She only uses her power for good.
Hannah. God, I love that banana. Anderson. Ava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallentainment. The Bay Area betches, betches. And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Lulu Simon, Su Studio.
We're all in with Julia Conlin.
Always ready for Nicole Passeretti.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Nancy Cease and DeSisto.
Joey Grant, the Grandmaster. Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters. And
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. It's a cartoon available on YouTube. It's a parody of The Real Housewives of New York. Go check it out and subscribe. It would mean a lot. And joining me is the hilarious, multi-talented, collared shirt-wearing Ronnie Karam of the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast podcast. What is going on, Mr. Ronnie?
Hi, Ben.
Hello, hello. So, very exciting. Here we are on the cusp of July. And in case you didn't hear, we have two shows that still have tickets next month in July. Cleveland and Baltimore. Cleveland is on July 25th, my brother's birthday, okay? And then the 27th is Baltimore. You got to come see us there. So get your tickets for those. Those are selling very nicely at a nice even pace. We don't want you to miss out. And then after July, we have a whole bunch of shows. I'm just going to list them. Not going to do anything more. I'm just going to list. We got Charlotte, Nashville, Carborough, which is like Chapel Hill, Research Triangle, Richmond, Fort Lauderdale, Indianapolis, two shows in Chicago, two shows in New York, St. Louis, two shows in Philadelphia, and our final show of the year will be in Seattle, Washington, and guess what? We're even going to have some more shows, but we are going to announce them a little bit later on, maybe in a week or two. So that's it for the shows. That's the news for the shows. Get your tickets. Of course, tickets are at watchwhatcrappens.com. That's where you can also get merchandise. Lots of fun merchandise up there. We have a Dorinda t-shirt. We have a Team MVP t-shirt. And there's also a Madison t-shirt, which is a picture of a martini. Sort of hard to describe that one. Just look at it. It's a really cool t-shirt. Because we keep saying martini medicine. But you just, if you look at it, you'll see it and you'll get it. And you'll want to actually get it. And then right now, this episode of the podcast, not only can you listen to us chirp away, you can actually watch us too if you go to Crappens On Demand. That's a Patreon feature, How do you do a web address again? No, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can sign up there. Crappens On Demand level, you can watch us do this, not just listen. And also, a new Patreon perk is our Discord channel, which is like a giant chat room You can talk about anything. You can talk about the new Big Brother season. You can talk about The Hills. You can talk about food. You can talk about Camille Grammer, whatever you want. It's super fun. Already like a nice burgeoning community on there. So that's all the fun stuff. Discord, Crappens on demand, merchandise, and tickets. I mean, what else could you want?
Do it, everybody. So, fun times. And today is Southern Charm.
Whoa. I'm going to do Southern Charm in a Ramona voice. I don't care that it's Southern Charm. I'm already ready for the New York premiere. I'm just going to use all New York voices. Actually, this is a problem I'm having. Ronnie, we've always talked about how we will just start talking in Ramona voice to people, you know?
Yeah.
And people are like, huh. Lately, I've started to talk in Luann voice, and that's a real problem because people think I'm being a cocky motherfucker. I'll be like, oh, really? Oh, well, obviously. And people are like, really? And I'm like, no, I'm in character, you know, but people like,
I just have that natural tone to my voice anyway. So I'm just like one of those Garfield queens, you know, it's like, not Garfield. What
Stanley the cat.
That?
Stanley the cat.
Yes. I have that in my personality naturally where I'm like, oh, really? Is that what we're doing today? So that one kind of comes natural. But yeah, the Ramona gets me in more trouble because it just sounds like I'm having some kind of a seizure or something.
Yeah.
Because I was in the store the other day and I'm like, whoa, you have LaCroix that's cucumber and blackberry flavored? Whoa, never heard that before. And they just look at me like the Russian liquor store is just looking at me like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
It was Mila. It's like the time when we had a layover. I think it was in Portland. And I was at an airport where we had to actually get off the plane and onto the tarmac to get into the airport. And we were like walking on the tarmac and you just went, whoa. And everyone on the tarmac was like, what was that? But I mean, I got it.
Ramona sticks with you forever. Oh, and speaking of that, tonight we're doing two videos today. This video, Southern Charm, and then tonight we're doing one right after New York at 7:30 Pacific time. So that's our next on demand is the Real Housewives of New York season finale. Okay,
yeah.
You won't even recognize it because I look so young.
Yeah, it might get delayed a little bit because I'm also slated to pick up my brand new Subaru. Okay. And so I have to head to Glendale, California to pick it up. So if I'm hoping they don't like text me at like 6 o'clock and say, guess what? It's here. So just everyone be on high alert, Subaru alert. Okay.
We're on Orange Ben picking up his car alert. Okay. So let's get into some Southern Charm. Whoa.
Speaking of very sensible sedans, let's look at these guys. It's morning in the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee, and we hear all this bucolic music. I forget what the piece is, but it's like that famous classical piece that's like I would totally go see like a chorale performance of Garshes and Erms.
It's like bells, but just with Garshes and Erms.
Did you notice we had a new animal mascot on Southern Charm for Bravo today?
No, what was it?
It was a little crawfish walking amongst the leaves.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. I thought it was a roach at first, didn't you? Crawfish have roach tails. That's what I learned on Southern Charm.
Well, they have lobster
I was terrified.
Tails. Lobster tails, not roach. Not They don't have roach tails.
Roach
How tail dare you?
Look like a roach.
No,
they
I mean,
look like
just
a
because
nasty
they're called,
roach.
Just because they're called mud bugs just means they've got bad branding, okay? It's a crawfish, or as I like to call it, a crawdaddy.
I like how in the very beginning when they were showing the previous leads, they're trying to make it sound like the most dramatic season ever. They were remixing the music to be like, it's like, don't put so much salt on the food, bro. Dun, 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 dun. You're mean. Dun, 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 dun. The boys go local.
Craig threw a paper plate at Whitney. Oh, no.
Oh, that paper plate is the new Ashley.
I'm sorry I manipulated you into throwing a paper plate at Whitney, who's a boy.
So yeah, garsh, so we're at the Smoky Mountains campground, and the music is interrupted by Whitney using his electric toothbrush. Now, if I'm not allowed to litter anymore, then why is Whitney allowed to spit his toothpaste into the river? I'm calling PETA!
Yeah, I don't think he should be allowed to have an electric toothbrush while camping. It was like, when I was like 18 and I went to college, so before orientation, my school, like, pretty much made everyone go on these camping trips. And they were like, it's camping. So, like, don't bring deodorant. Don't do this or that. So it's like, okay, what? I'm a beat. Yeah, they were like, they just were, for some reason, they explicitly said, don't bring deodorant. I don't know why. So I was like, I'm obedient. I'll follow the rules. So I didn't bring deodorant. And then everyone else did. So I was like the smelly kid on the camping trip. Okay.
Oh,
so I'm resentful of people who bring their amenities, and then I'm the one who looks bad. I'm angry at Whitney now. I'm like, well, fine. I haven't brushed my teeth yet. Okay, fine. Now I feel bad.
Yeah, I'm angry at Whitney too.
Yeah.
For those kids being mean to you. So it looks like a typical day after shooting. There's just, you know, alcohol bottles littering the campsite.
Terrible.
And stuff. And they have to get up and go to Nashville for the next part of their trip.
Gosh, time. Oh. We really are going to do Ramona this whole episode, aren't we? Get up, bro. Time's wasting. Gosh.
Yeah, and Shep's doing that abusive husband thing on Lifetime where, like, last night he was running through the house chasing you with scissors and you're about to die. And then the next morning you wake up and he's like, hi, honey, Gosh. Would you like some breakfast? It's like, get out of here, Gosh Low. Okay? You Rob Low, Gosh.
Gosh Low.
Get out of here with your abusive ass.
Garshrin Matheson. So,
Meredith Garster Bernie.
So, yeah. So, and then Shep, of course, is already drinking beer for breakfast. And Austin's doing it, too, because he has to follow Shep. So then Craig comes out of the Winnebago. I guess he'd been in there all night. And everyone's like, you okay, Craig? How you doing, Craig? He's like, you guys pissed me off really bad last night. I was like, wow. Not even this archaic device can lift my moods right now.
I'm sorry, Gosh. Let's call a truce. Do you want some scrambled Gosh? And so he feeds Craig, and Austin's like, yeah, I've seen this before. It's called fucking abuse, okay? Someone's mean to you, and then they're nice to you the next day and tries to do something for you. I'm like, yes, Austin, you're correct, but you're also contributing to the problem, so I don't want to hear it from you. The only reason you have a problem with this today is because it's aimed at you.
Yeah, maybe if he had a job, he wouldn't even be in this situation in the first place. So Shep is like,
get a job, right?
Get a job. So Shep is, he's making scrambled eggs on this, like, plate that's, like, over a flame. It's some sort of contraption, a camping thing. He's like, Gosh, I like this tool. It's like Austin, a useful tool. Gosh. I'm like, first of all, you're giving Austin way too much credit. I'm not sure about the usefulness.
So then they're like, how long does it take to get to Nashville? 4 hours. Oh my God. The boys got local.
I'm just imagining Shep going into Flight of the Mumblebee. Gosh. As they speed to Nashville. It's impossible. Guess what? We've just learned it's impossible to do the Flight of the Bumblebee with all Gosh instruments.
I know. We both tried. Okay,
we tried. You can't do it.
By the way, anybody who's still listening to this recap today, thanks. I can't believe it. You have a strong constitution that you're still sitting there listening to this bullshit. Okay.
Yeah.
Good job.
So anyway, we now go over to the OBGYN with Chelsea and Danny. It's also the name of their morning show, OBGYN with Chelsea and Danny.
Stink face and Chelsea. So we go to the OBGYN and Chelsea's like, hi, girl. Hey, look at these pictures of babies on the wall. You want one of those? There's a baby on the wall. You want a baby on the wall? And Danny's like, my mom's making me. Trying to make her stink face.
She's like, basically, she says that she wanted to do this. She wanted to, like, freeze her eggs and do it with, like, she wanted to bring a really close friend with her. But, you know, since she and Catherine are fighting right now, she's like, it's got to be Chelsea. And she just can't believe this is the situation she's in. Like, she never thought she'd be freezing her eggs without Catherine with her. So
I know. I haven't spoken to her since the pillow party, so I'm glad to have a good friend here. God, you should be friends with my friends. Danny would be a fucking nervous wreck, okay? She'd be put in a mental hospital if she hung out with my friends for a day. We're like, hey, fatty. Hey, stupid. All right, good to see you. Danny would be like,
I'm also, like, desperate for this cast to have another party so that way they can stop constantly referring to the pillow party. Well, I haven't done this since the pillow party.
Most dramatic season ever.
I haven't eaten a bugle since the pillow party.
So Danny's like, yeah, she really hurt my feelings. And Chelsea's like, like, get over it, basically. Chelsea has get over it face.
Yeah, she does. And then Danny's like, you know what? I'm not her doormat. I'm just not. Now, excuse me, I'm going to lie down on the floor if you feel like stepping on me. You may. You may.
Your feet do look dirty, though, and I don't want you having my freezing eggs day with dirty feet. Just go ahead, wipe them on my boobs, and what? Done. Okay.
It's fine. I actually enjoy providing the service for you, I guess.
So we go into the doctor's office, and Danny's just staring at one of those pictures of, I don't know, the insides of a lady.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I'm very proud of the women of Southern Charm for being as ignorant about women's bodies as men. Because Chelsea's like, what is that?
It's like, I think that's a map of the greater Charleston area. Is that the Ravenel Bridge? I think it's a fallopian tube. Oh, we actually have a tube here. I thought that was in London.
Yeah, like, yeah, so they don't know what it is. And Chelsea's just staring at it sideways. It's like, that's a uterus. I don't know nothing about this stuff. So the doctor comes in wiping her hands, which I really don't like, because this suggests that the doctor just put some of that, like, antibacterial gel, and she's coming in with that. I don't like that. Antibacterial gel, I've told my meme all this a million times, and no one listens to me, will cause the next super virus, okay? And when the next super virus is called Meemaw, you know why.
Yeah.
Because she uses it every 5 seconds, and I'm convinced she's going to kill the entire world.
Yeah, I'm a huge hypochondriac, and shockingly, I'm not into the antibacteria gel thing, because I also feel like you gotta, like, I don't know, like, first of all, I think that not, when it comes to that stuff, like, we're by and large okay. However, when it comes to doctors, I'm pretty down for doctors washing their hands before they see me, because I don't know what they just saw.
Washing your hands, yeah, washing your hands, but not doing the antibacterial soap. Okay, look, when this world turns into Apocalypse Meemaw, you'll know I'm right. Okay? But whatever. Until then, just keep hiring doctors that use antibacterial instead of washing their hands. Go ahead. What do I care? I look young.
Whenever I see antibacterial things, like those automatic dispensers, it always takes me back to 2010 when I went to the Club Med in Port St. Lucie, and there was, like, a giant antibacterial thing in the cafeteria, and you'd have to, like, walk in and, like, stop there and, like, be like, and I just hated it. And I was like, I don't want to. It was weird. I didn't want to put it on before I, like, this weird, like, Johnson & Johnson's, like, chemically smelling thing right before I, like, eat my tater tots.
Yeah. So Danny's like, I wanted to learn more about freezing my eggs. And Chelsea's still over there, like, trying to, like, figure out what the uterus model is, you know. It's
freezing eggs? Shep just texted me to say you could actually scramble them over a useful tool called Austin. Isn't that cool?
God. I almost got my eggs scrambled over Austin. Phew! Crisis averted, am I right?
So, yeah, this doctor comes in. She's like, well, basically, we'll give you hormones for 10 to 14 days, which, by the way, does not seem like a crazy window to me. I thought it was going to be, like, 3 months. And then she's like, it's for 10 to 14 days, and then we're going to harvest your eggs, and there's, like, pretty much no guarantee you'll get anything out of it. So you want to do it?
I know. Sounds fun, Doc. Thanks for the hard sell. She's like, hey, listen, I'm sure you've got plenty of eggs. You're not too old to have eggs. The problem is that they're probably all disgusting, old, and crippled. Okay? I can see your eggs limping. You want to freeze? You're going to need to freeze a lot of those eggs. Sorry,
listen,
honey.
I'm sure you have tons of eggs. The question is, do you have as many people lined up to buy your art? Just saying, I've seen it online. I've seen it online.
Every egg is a customer unrealized.
So then over in Nashville, the guys arrive. And by the way, and this is really not a plug for our show, but watching them in Nashville got me so excited to go back because we had such a fun time there last time. So when I was there, I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to go. And and this time, I want to follow in the footsteps of Shep and Craig and Austin and see just how douchey their night out was, you know? So they go to a hotel called the Fairlane, and they get the penthouse suite, and it's nice.
Yeah, and Craig's like, dude, look, these like, look at this terrace, dude. We gotta bring people here.
Yeah.
And I'm just terrified. You know, that's what that's why I never want to stay in suites like that, because you're just laying on dried douche
sperm.
Ejaculate.
Yeah.
You know? You just know you are. It's gross. I don't want to think. Whoever goes to that, I mean, I know that the Fairlane thinks that they're getting this great free advertising. Well, not free, but advertising on Bravo by giving them this suite. No, you're not. Like, I don't ever, ever want to be in that room ever, okay?
Yeah.
Now, this is when you need the antibacterial
stuff. Yeah. I mean, talk about frozen sperm. It's everywhere. So, yeah, Shep is like, gosh, if Austin can't get a girl back to this amazing suite, then Austin, we have a problem. Gosh, gosh, gosh. Gosh, gosh, gosh.
Because, you know, Austin works in both situations. Gosh.
Gosh, it's time to go to a commercial. Ah, oh, Craig.
This is Fuse Tea in 3D. Mouth-watering fruit. Perfectly fused with botanicals and tea. Serve yourself a little me time with Fuse Tea. Listen to our ASMR Mind Tingles podcast.
So then they're getting ready and grooming and Shep gives himself a goatee.
Looks terrible. Just,
but it's so him. It looks like it's part of him, you know? It's like that Guy Fieri look. It's so him. I just need him to wear like a sun visor backwards, you know, or do whatever Diners, Drive-Ins. That show just keeps coming up, by the way, this year.
Yeah, it's...
This week. But blame Shep, okay, with his goatee.
Yeah, guy. I feel like Shep is the one who's watching all those generic Food Network competitions that all look exactly the same. People lined up in weird lighting in front of a brick sort of wall, gulping because they're afraid they're gonna get eliminated because they didn't make a cracker in the right shape, you know. So Shep has his goatee and he's all proud of it, and so he's like standing in like the living room area of the suite, and Craig comes out first, and he's like, oh, it's like trying to show it off, and Craig's like, he's like, I shaved, and Craig's like, oh, and he like looks and sees the goatee and he's like, oh, I didn't even realize it. And Shep's like, what do you mean you didn't even realize it? How could you not see my flesh-colored goatee? Gosh.
Yeah, he does have a flesh-colored goatee. It comes out the same color as his skin, so nobody can tell. And then Austin's like, why are you moving your head like that, bro? And Shep's like, I shaved, gosh. He's like, yeah. I guess when in Rome, right?
Poor Austin, though. He didn't have as much luck. Look, I thought he saw me. He was trying to shave and he nicked himself. He's like, oh, god damn it.
So Austin's like, so Madison just sent me a text, and it's a picture of her looking hot as fuck, getting ready to go out. What is that supposed to mean? What is the purpose of that? And Craig's like, because she's evil, and that's what evil people do. You know, Hitler was totally known for sending shots of himself in a Speedo to world leaders. It's just how evil people were.
Yeah. Didn't you hear about when he sent that dick pic to Winston Churchill? It's evil.
And Shep's like, of course. Okay, just tell her thanks, but there's 500 girls right outside my door, and all of them are hotter than you, white trash, hairdressing, snot face.
500 girls that are better looking than you outside my window. Whatever, could you imagine? I mean, what?
That's so Shep. I love that Shep thinks in internet comments.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he can't come up with something intelligent to say, so he's like, you're ugly.
Yeah. I mean, it's like for someone who like prides himself on having class and being a gentleman, like that's the response. It's just like, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it at all. Okay. So,
fat gosh. Ooh. So, Austin's like, Shep, come on, leave her alone. You know, like, I don't want to just do that to her and hurt her feelings. He's like, what? You don't want to do what? Hook up? Because she was doing that while she was dating you. Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Why are these guys so obsessed with Madison?
Yeah.
Do you really think that they're doing what the girls used to? Remember when Patron? What was her name? I'm obsessed with Patreon today. The girl from last year who dressed like a unicorn.
Oh, Peyton.
They were really mean to. Oh, yeah, her. When the girls were like, fuck that girl trying to come on our show. And Naomi's like, she's thirsty.
Yeah.
Do you think they're doing that with Madison? Like, they're just trying to protect the show from new cast members or what?
There might be. There might be something like that. I mean, later on, we also get a much better insight into why Shep might be doing what he's doing. But there could be something like that. It is weird. It's one thing to be like, oh, I didn't like that she went and had revenge sex. I thought that was, like, not cool. But this is really, like, above and beyond, okay? Like, a very much above and beyond.
Yeah, they're going over the top for sure.
Not that Madison is innocent by any means. I mean, she's a firecracker. But she is, like, but, like, this is, like, the punishment does not meet the crime. So now the guys go out to the restaurant in the hotel, and they're sitting there picking out wines. And it's like, oh, I think we should get two bottles, right? And then, like, or I guess Craig suggests that. And then it becomes this weird thing where Whitney and Shep are going to pick one bottle, and Craig and Austin are going to pick another bottle. So there's, like, this weird little, like, bottle feud happening. And so Shep is
rich,
like,
rich bottle, poor bottle.
Yeah. So Shep is like, actually, Stag's Leap is pretty good. The cab. And then Craig just looks at him and goes, really? You're going to go with that? Okay. And then Shep...
I mean, I've had that before, but...
Shep gives him such an angry look when all that Craig was doing was basically everything that Shep was doing to Craig the night before, you know?
Yeah, but it's like Craig... I love when Craig tries to pretend that he's rich, too.
Yeah.
He's like, Stag's Leap. Now, in Craig's defense, I don't remember Stag's Leap being a fancy bottle of wine either. Why is it $100-something? That's nuts.
Well, maybe it was like a certain vintage. I don't know. Or maybe their prices went up out because Stag's Leap was one of the wineries that I think burned down in the Napa fire, right?
Oh, right? My gosh. I don't know.
I think
I
so.
Hey, way to make it depressing, Ben. Thanks.
I know.
Dude.
Sorry. But I mean, but their bottles are not $100. I remember I went wine tasting Napa this one time when I was a little girl. I went wine tasting in Napa Valley, and I went to Stag's Leap with my parents. The wine was very affordable, okay? It's true. So, it's true. It's affordable wine. It must have just been like a fancy bottle.
So. Yeah, but it was like super fancy at this restaurant. And Craig's like, really? And then Whitney goes, oh, when did Craig become an onophile? And I had to totally look that up because I was like, an Uno file? Is that just someone who loves Uno?
Well, I'm sure Craig is that too. Wild card. I fancy myself not so much an onophile, but a momophile. Mother.
Get the Stag's Leap, Whitney. Just fuck with them. Patricia's just stuck in Whitney's head. So then Craig is like, we'll get the Bordeaux,
Chateau de Rocamorin. They're like, oh, the Chateau de Rochemorin? Yeah,
okay,
Chateau
whatever.
De Rochemorin, please.
And so the rich kids are like laughing at him. And Shep's like, oh, it's a regular sommelier over there.
And then Whitney's like, they're trying their wine. He's like, it's better than their wine, mother. It's better than their wine. I'm like, how about you guys just all get some Thomas, like some Charles Shaw, okay? And just call it a night.
Yeah. And Austin's like, well, you guys have a few more years on us to learn about wines, I guess, and to spend more money on wine. And Whitney's like, yeah, we earned it. Do you know what my mother had to do for this bottle of wine? We earned this bottle of wine. And Shep's like, darn right. Elder statesman, gosh.
So then
we come from a long line of other people earning money for us. Okay?
We come from a long line of inheriting things. So Craig is like, I'm not sure you earned it. Shep goes, Craig, quit acting so obstinate.
Why are you being so ornery, bro? Why are you being so ornery?
So ornery. Oh, so obstinate all the time. It's just like his attitude is infectious and insidious. Gosh.
And Whitney's basically like, okay, guys, since I'm sitting here making millions of dollars, I'm making you guys look stupid for my television show. I'll pay for dinner.
Yeah.
Get whatever you want. I'm going to kill her. They're like, put down the knife, Patricia. He's like, okay, sorry, mother. Sorry.
So now they start talking about Catherine and how they just read online that Catherine filed documents for full custody of her children, and then Thomas Ravenel filed a counterclaim, etc., which might, is probably why, like, she's been more emotional than usual. So Craig turns to Whitney, and he's like, so you were hanging out with Catherine this summer, a.k.a. having sex with her, apparently. So was she, like, happy and bubbly then, you know?
He's like,
when you were having sex.
I wasn't
having sex with her. Was she bubbly?
I wasn't.
Was it bubble sex? Was it sexy bubble sex? Was she happy? Was she smiling? You had your glasses on, right? Did you see if she was smiling? Craig. Craig.
It's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, what? Like, everybody knows this summer when you were hooking up, banging, doing it, laying pipe, you know? And he's like, she just told me you were hooking up the other day. And Austin's like, just admit you banged Catherine. And Steph's like, whatever happened is none of your business. I'm like, your whole plot this year is someone else's sex life. What are you talking about?
Yeah, suddenly there's a boundary for Shep. Please.
So then the wine lady comes, and she's like a Simpsons character. Like,
yeah, she is.
She's just all craggly in the corner with a bottle of wine, like, opening this bottle of wine. And Shep's like, that's none of your business. And Craig's like, well, then he shouldn't have hooked up with her then. And Shep's like, you can fuck whoever you want.
And then Craig's like, well, your brains work differently than mine. And Shep's like, you're goddamn right, dude. And Whitney's like, he's getting ornery. He's getting ornery over that one. He's obstinate. That's what I'll tell you. Ornery and obstinate. And Craig goes, you just don't see things the way I do. And Shep goes, yeah, I'm smart.
And then the music goes, the rattle, like, ooh, big fight. They go, Craig's like, you want to go outside, Austin, because those guys are being pornery. It's like, that's not even a word, Craig.
They're so blasting it. Craig, no, I literally just said the word for you.
So Austin's like, God, you know, like being close quarters with those guys, like Shep just thinks like he's better than everyone else, you know, and everyone else is lower than him. And it's like crazy. I'm like, what's up with that?
Yeah. It's almost as if he has a lot of money and a trust fund and all that stuff. And you have none of it, Austin. It's almost just like that.
Yeah, similar. Although I don't feel like Austin should be acting like he's so poor either. I mean, his parents have invested a lot of money.
Yeah. You know,
they're all rich. I'm sick of all of them pretending like, oh, God, we come from the wrong side of the tracks.
Yeah.
That my father built.
Yeah.
So then Whitney, back inside, the guy, they're both groups of guys are talking about each other. And Whitney's like, God, what's up with Craig? He's got this sense of entitlement. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, what entitlement does Craig have, except for the entitlement that comes with thinking you can sleep until 11:30 a.m. and still be a lawyer, you know? And Shep's like, he has no class. Not one. Zero. Hey, Austin, don't forget to tell Madison there are 500 girls outside your window who are hotter than she is. Gosh.
Yeah, and when Shep talks about having no class, he's like leaning back in his seat with his armpits out and his hands behind his head. He's like, that guy's classless.
Yeah, with his goatee.
Yeah, with this Guy Fieri look.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's got an assistant that does nothing. I'm like, excuse you. That assistant does a lot.
She does everything.
Have you seen a Craig pillow before? She did it. Did you eat chicken nuggets at Craig's house? She did it. Give Anna Hayward some love, please.
I mean, do you think that box of beef jerky just walks its way inside the house? No, it does not.
So Whitney's like, are you mad at Craig now? Because we gotta do something on this trip. Like, we're literally doing nothing. Shep's like, gosh, she's just hard to stay mad at. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you go to a bar without Craig, no girls. You go to a bar with Craig, there's girls everywhere. So, you know, he's gotta be nicer to me because I'm richer, and I've gotta be nicer to him because he's hotter.
Yeah.
Is basically how I think this relationship works.
Yeah. And then there's like this weird toast with Whitney and Craig being like, oh, well, we sort of get up into each other's business and throw hot dogs at each other. So cheers, Craig. Cheers. It's like, what? Craig's like, thanks.
Yeah. So he's like, thanks for dinner. And he's like, well, sorry. You know, Craig, you know, sometimes we go hard at each other. And he's like, yeah. Like, sometimes we throw hot dogs at each other's head and get hot dog juice on each other's eyeglasses. And Whitney's like, and that too. That's that too. When he's so mad.
Yeah, he's like, don't remind me about my Warby Parkers. Yeah. So now we go over to Patricia, Miss Patricia, who's hanging out in her library. And she's sitting there, and so she rings the bell for Michael to come on in. And she goes, Michael, look what I've got in an antique shop. It's a little French bonnet for Chauncey. It's like this antique, probably for like a dollar or something. But she has, the plan is to put it on Chauncey the pug. I just love the activities that happen in this household. You know, it's like weird arts and craft dress up, you know. Like,
I don't think this is going to work for Chauncey. Now, let's talk about my fabulous dinner I'm going to throw. You know the new dishware I got? The artichoke.
Artichoke set. I got from Artichokes R Us, clearance sale, going out of business for all your artichoke needs. Plates, dishes, glasses.
I got everything I need over it. Choke lots.
Everything I needed at Gwyn's Artichoke Division.
Gwyn's. Gwyn just sells everything in town.
Yeah, artichoke plates, artichoke bibs, artichoke table mats. I mean, Patricia better come out with an artichoke caftan after this episode. Just artichokes. Which actually I think would be kind of chic.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I think I'm going to change the guy's dinner party I normally do since they're all in jail now.
She's like, I gotta change the seating arrangement. She goes, well, I decided it's the Me Too movement. I should probably get with the program, so make it a girl's dinner.
The Me Too movement. I love that by the time the Me Too movement gets all the way to Charleston, nobody even knows what it is anymore. It's like, oh, this movement about women not having the same amount of dinner parties as men.
It's time to put a stop to that.
Well, I've heard there's been some inequality in the workplace about who gets artichokes, so time's up. Ladies get the artichokes now.
If only Harvey Weinstein had taken some of them girls to a dinner party, none of this would have happened.
I called up Georgette Mosbacher from Poland's embassy, and I said, you have to get back here for an artichoke, because it's for the Artichoke 2 movement, so get back here.
Artichokes too. And how do you think sweet potatoes feel?
Like, she's like totally out of touch.
We don't care about sweet potatoes. They've had their moments. Artichoke 2. Artichoke 2.
So she's like, all right, well, I haven't come up with anything other than an artichoke idea, but there's always tomorrow.
He's like, oh, ma'am, I think Miss Scarlet might have said that once. She's like,
I think you might be right.
Now get this ridiculous dog out of my face, Michael.
Artichokes, too.
So then we go over to the guys in a bar, because what else are the what were you expecting? The guys in a library? It's like the beginning of every guy's scene. Guys in a bar.
Guys in a bar. So yeah, so Shep and Austin are talking to different girls, and Shep is like, they're all just talking to girls. There's all a million girls flock around them. So Shep is like, oh gosh, Whitney, tell them about my balcony at the Fairlane. It's perfect to push someone off of it. I mean, make out with someone on it. Oops.
Yeah, he and Austin are walking around like, yeah, we have a penthouse.
Yeah.
And Whitney's like, I don't want to do shots, mother.
Do it, Whitney.
No, mother, please.
Do it. Choke yourself with a shot, Whitney.
He's like, oh, that's disgusting, you know. So, yeah, everybody that Austin goes up to, apparently, Shep goes right up behind him to, you know, get the after ass, which is totally a Shep move, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, I do love the juxtaposition of Patricia talking about Me Too and female empowerment, and then immediately switching over to these guys being like, come to our penthouse, come to our penthouse, come to our penthouse, which sounds so sketchy and sounds like it'll lead to something really bad and possibly illegal.
We have a penthouse. You want to come up and audition for our new film?
Yeah. Please drink any beverage that's in a glass. Yes, please.
Yeah. We'll come up. Me too. Me too. Yeah,
everyone.
We're supporting the Me Too movement. Like, nobody can get it on this show.
Can I bring this artichoke? No, I'm sorry. See, there is a reason for it. Artichoke too. So basically, Shep is fully cock-blocking Austin. Like, just going up to every girl. Like, Austin's with some girl, and she plays golf. So then Shep goes in and starts talking about golf and the hook and all this stuff. And Austin's like, oh, Shep, I think Craig needs to talk to you. And Shep, of course, doesn't listen. So now Austin's just, like, pissed. Because this is supposed
to
be his trip.
He's pissed, but he's also... Yeah, he's pissed, but he was never really after any of those girls to hook up anyway. He just wanted someone to listen to him. So he goes up to this couple of girls, and he's like, have you ever had those days where you love someone so much that all you can think about is what they're doing? And like, where are they? How could she send me that picture? What do you think it means when someone sends you a selfie of them looking hot before they go out? Like, yeah. What's it supposed to mean? They're like, are you speaking Japanese? Why does your mouth keep moving?
He's like, I mean, I just had this one girl who I just can't get out of my head. I mean, am I helpless or hopeless? And this girl goes, okay, well, this has been fun. I'm going to go over here. There's a guy who has actually made a beer before. Oh, damn it. Damn it. That's how embarrassing.
So he's like, I miss Madison, and I try to ignore it, but it's there, and it's glaring. So then it just keeps cutting to Austin, like, talking to whoever will listen to him, you know, about Madison.
Yeah, some girl's like, so are you over your girlfriend? He's like, no, and that's the whole purpose of my trip, you know? It's like, where are my buds? They're supposed to be here for me, but there's one guy over there, and one guy over there, and one guy over there. I'm like, maybe because, Austin, they don't want to hang out with you anymore. They've been stuck in a van with you for 2 days, and they're like, you know what? I want to talk to someone else who's not going to talk about Madison and Trop Hop.
Trop Hop. So then we go over to Naomi's house, and she's cooking and reading a recipe. And we see Matul coming home, and it's the housewife is cooking scene.
I will say Naomi has one of my favorite cookbooks, Made in India. So I was so happy that she had that, because that cookbook is awesome. But it looked like she cooked something from the internet. So I don't want anyone to think that her suboptimal butter chicken that she made is a reflection on the cookbook Made in India by Mira Soda, because it's a really good cookbook and everyone should get it.
Well, wasn't she using a bag of sauce too?
There was all sorts of weird stuff. And my friend Eva, who's Indian, texted me. Eva occasionally will text it, and I have to relay what she says on the podcast. And Eva basically said that she was horrified by what was happening. But but I will say, by the way, because you guys know I love a good recipe. If anyone uses Cooks Illustrated, they actually had a recipe for butter chicken like 2 months ago. And it's really, really, really good. So use that one also. Ronnie's just
noted. Yeah, I was listening. I was just filling up my water. I was noting it in my head.
I have like very serious comments right now. I'm like, get the cookbook and use this recipe.
Butter chicken. Or you could do what I do. Call Grubhub.
Yeah.
Bring some over. It's delicious and easy.
Do you think there's even Indian food in Charleston? I mean, remember when we were there and we tried to order Greek food and the shit that came.
That was not okay.
I don't know what that was. That was like someone who had seen Greece, okay, but not had actually. Okay, that was like the worst hummus I'd ever had in my life from that Greek restaurant.
That was disgusting. That restaurant was fucking disgusting.
Fucking disgusting. Okay. Don't eat Greek food in Charleston.
So Matul just keeps giving her shit. You know, he's like, you sure you don't want to call for sushi? She's like, come on, I want to try to do this. Just let me do this, okay? And he's like, okay, but we could just call sushi, okay? She's like, come on.
He's like, did you read that first line? Oh, marinated overnight. Oops. That's like kind of a key step. And then she's like, I'm going to use coffee creamer instead of cream. He's like, sushi. He's like pressing the Family Feud button. Survey says sushi.
Yeah, and she's like, Matul is the most amazing thing to ever happen to me, and I know it. And I don't want to mess this up, okay? Because I think he's pretty much the one. I mean, I doubt he'd say that about me, but God, I love him. Don't ever leave. I don't like this dynamic. I'm just saying
I actually
right
don't
now,
like that she said that either.
I don't no. like it.
Naomi,
like
you are
Naomi
the best thing that happened.
Yes, I don't like any girl of mine acting like that for a man. Now,
no.
Like Matul seems like a very nice person, but I do not like seeing a strong woman in an emotional wreck because of some fucking guy. Who cares what your man thinks?
Yeah, Naomi, no. You are the best thing that happened to Matul. Matul is not the best thing that happened to you, okay? Do you not remember that your uncle has a lovely seafood restaurant? That is the best thing that happened to you, okay? But Matul, you are the best thing that happened to Matul. Do not forget that. I agree with Ronnie.
I agree.
I don't like when girls do that, you know, and then create that dynamic.
And he's not bugging me as much because I see that obviously he's teasing her and like, that's their dynamic. And, you know, speaking in love language to Naomi is like that because that's how that was her love language to Craig. She's like, Craig, you're an idiot. And that's how she loves, you know. So I think when she found someone who can actually speak her love language to her, it just like she's all a flutter.
Yeah.
But I don't
also
know.
Also someone who has like an amazing career track ahead of him. Unlike Craig. I think that also is part of the love language.
Yeah. So they finally taste this food, and she's like, I think it's missing something. He goes, an Indian person who knows how to cook? Yeah. And she's like, oh my God, that's so romantic.
I think that's
like,
a fair statement.
He just sang her a romantic love song.
Yeah. Yeah. I still like Matul, though. But I'd want Naomi to have... I want her to have her head on right. Okay. Naomi? Or as you would say in French, la tête, il faut que la tête être raison. That could be totally wrong.
God, that was some Thomas Ravenel French, right?
I know.
There.
I did not even try to do an accent. Wow. Because I was like, it's already going to be bad grammar, so I'm not even going to try to do the accent. Okay, I'm going to do the Craig version. Chateau de Rocheburg. Okay. So now we go over
Greek
to...
Greek food. Chateau de... Greek food. Greek that food. Was the name of the Greek food restaurant.
Greek food. And that's the thing. Like, if we were going to get mad at Matul being like, what's missing is an Indian person. I just feel like I can't say that on the heels of bashing the Greek restaurant in Charleston, where it's like, what's missing is a Greek person. So anyway, Catherine's house. Chelsea comes over and she's like, are you upstairs or are you downstairs? I'm like, I don't think there's anything but upstairs in that place. There's no such thing as downstairs. Like, you enter, it's an M.C. Escher
Are you
painting.
On the ninth floor or the second floor? Have you ever heard of a uterus?
Is that a new kind of Ford something? The Ford uterus? Is it reliable?
Does that got a backup camera on it?
Hey, does that have a dual zone climate control? The Ford uterus? I need that.
So Catherine is turning into Patricia at this point. She's not fully in a caftan, but she's in a caftan. She's in like an like almost caftan.
Yeah, very swanky, almost looked almost retro. And I loved it, by the way.
And she's upstairs when anyone comes over. And instead of having a butler, she just leaves the door open. So Chelsea comes in. She's like, where are you? And then Catherine just comes slowly down the stairs clinking because all the jewelry's clinking together. I'm like, oh my God, yeah. She's morphing into Patricia.
It did look a little bit like that climactic scene in Labyrinth, you know, where like Jennifer Connelly's on like one staircase and David Bowie's on another staircase and they're like chasing each other, you know? There's like a baby floating around somewhere. Toby!
So she comes clinking down and Chelsea's like, girl, Gucci Mane looking good! And Catherine's just giving her erm face like...
Erm.
Yeah. So she's like, well, I guess we should just get down to business. Vaginas, what do they do?
She's now writing for the Insane Clown Posse. So, she's like, all right, now let's get down to business, as I previously just said a second ago. At Craig's, you thought that we were talking about you, but we were only talking about you, not about you.
Yeah, but that wasn't on you. It was Danny on the girls' trip. She came for me in front of all the girls, and that was unfair to me.
Yeah, I feel like
that's
there wasn't like
disappointing. I am your father.
May the arm be with you. I don't know. I understand that Catherine was embarrassed, but when she's like in front of all the girls, it was like a table of six and they're all close girlfriends. So I kind of felt like that was a little bit of an excuse, you know? I mean, I think she was just like, she was blindsided and she didn't want to.
I think she met Cameron. Yeah. She's like, listen, I just got this bitch on my side. And now you're sitting there like, oh my God, you're going off the rails and your personality is completely changed. You don't need to do that in front of people who aren't really Catherine's friends, you know?
Yeah.
And I agree with her. Danny doesn't really need to do that. And then Naomi jumping in. But then again, call your friends back. I mean, I don't know.
This
is like the dumbest fight. I can't even believe I'm getting into this fight. It's stupid, okay? You have better things to fight about. Have you guys ever heard of global warming, okay? Blame each other for using straws. Do
global
something.
Warming.
Anything
global
else. Global erming, yeah.
So basically, you know, but then she, like, you know, but then Catherine's at the same time like, well, she's seen me at all my erms, you know, when I was crazy Catherine, and I was pregnant Catherine, and I was crazy Catherine. And we just get to see basically a montage of Catherine's greatest hits, which is always the best.
Yeah. That time when she was trying to make salmon and she was like bathing it in couldn't figure it out.
Hermes.
Yeah. And so she's like, well, we've been best friends for 6 years and I'll make it up to her. And so she shakes her head and she's wearing these big, huge balls on her ears that are like hitting her in the face, you know?
Yeah. It's like that little thing I got from the Philadelphia Science Museum when I was a kid with the balls. It was like... You know?
Yes, but it's just her head in the middle. She's like, erm. I just counted to 7 erms.
The Franklin Institute, by the way, far be it for me to say the Philadelphia Science Museum. It's the Franklin Institute. I know, because I know.
Okay.
Because you know people are going to be like, man, it's actually called the Franklin Institute. I get it. I walked through the giant heart.
So back at Patricia's, they're getting set up, and waiters are putting out little... tartar sauce boats, which turns out to be aioli.
When they showed the
staff in the back putting all the dishes together, I was like, she literally got artichoke dishes. I didn't know what she was talking about until I actually saw the party, and I'm like, wow, she legit has artichoke dishes.
Yeah, and,
wow.
And in fact, when she said, I have artichoke dishes, I thought it was like artichoke-themed dishes, but then as they were eating the artichoke, I realized there was a little nook for each one of the leaves to go around, and I was like, oh my god, that's amazing. I love that. That's so sublime.
We had artichokes dishes growing up. My mother, I was like, she has an actual artichoke dish. I have not seen that since I was a kid.
I had never even heard of it. And normally I just have a side bowl with this giant, unruly, like mass of leaves that piles up. And this was just so delicate and sophisticated. I was like, wow.
Well, I just always thought it was like a cheese and crackers plate that my mom was like trying to be like, oh, look, it's like cheese and crackers, but it's artichoke, Ronnie, you fat little bastard. You know, I thought she was... this is one of those things, like, it's a healthy substitute. But no, it's an actual artichoke dish. I mean, Mom, just the things you realize as an adult. I'd like to apologize to my mother.
Artichoke, like too. Artichokes, too.
My mother, the start of the artichoke 2 movement. And I just didn't even know.
So anyway, Patricia's like, the theme is an artichoke dinner, which obviously, because there's, like, artichokes everywhere. She has, I mean, it actually looked like the finale of Little Shop of Horrors. There are all these little Audrey 2s on the table. So Madison shows up first, then Naomi, etc. And Patricia is asking Naomi about her new boyfriend, Matul. And she's like, the most beautiful people I've ever seen of any nationality are Indian. And artichokes, because artichokes are people too, as we've learned from this ridiculous movement. Hashtag artichoke too.
Have you ever seen an artichoke try and march in the streets? Hilarious.
Oh, God. I can't wait for award season to begin. Everyone with their artichoke pins talking about artichoke, too. Why can't we just go back to the old days when everything was everything?
Now, just don't forget to put on the green ribbon that I've put in front of you, in front of your dishes. So, basically, yeah. So, then all the girls are super awkward because when the guys come over, they all have a lot of fun. They don't care, you know.
Yeah, they're not afraid of Patricia.
Yeah, but all the girls are like, this woman could ruin my life.
Yeah. So they're there. And then there's awkwardness with Danny and Madison because obviously Madison's friend had sent that thing to Danny's boyfriend. And so there's like weirdness there. So so then everyone's there. And then everyone's like, so what were, hey, Chelsea, what were you and Austin talking about for 2 hours at the pillow party? So yeah, so Chelsea starts talking about that, about the screenshots, etc., which then leads to Madison basically saying, with all that screenshot drama that happened, Madison's like, well, it all basically started because Danny, you had something to say about some of my transgressions,
and Danny's like, me? It's like, yes, you. I think it all stemmed down from you. And Naomi's like, yeah, I'm sitting in between these two, and I feel my brain being fried by laser beams. Like, I'm not fucking with Madison. She's hardcore, and I'm not ever going to fuck with that woman, okay? Yeah.
I literally just learned how to make butter chicken properly, and her anger laser just singed it out of my brain.
Well, not to get into other people's business, which I not want to do.
I love Patricia's, like, silent laugh. She's like, but was this that client of yours who tried to fix you up with someone, Madison, you little firecracker?
And Danny's like, yeah, it was like the guy I'm dating, and he told me, and I told Craig, which, of course, is the dumbest thing you could possibly fucking do in life.
And then Madison's like, I don't think Craig gets to blame. It shouldn't have been a conversation. I'm like, listen, Madison, we've been supporting you, and we've been on your side with all these douchebags, but you're the one who hit up her boyfriend. She's allowed to talk about that, okay? She's allowed. You hit up her boyfriend to flirt with him while you're with Austin. Don't get mad at her if she wants to tell someone, like, look at what this one did, okay?
Yeah, welcome to being on a TV show, too. And so yeah. Danny's like, well, come on. It's not like I made it up. And she goes, well, but it was feeling the fire. And she's like, well, okay, I knew better than to tell Craig. And I'm sorry. Okay, I guess I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And she's like, yeah.
Danny, not the doormat. Not the doormat apologizing to the woman who hit up her own boyfriend.
She's like, look, all I want is for you to not see welcome, but see welcome upside down because you're in my house now. We're friends now.
Yeah.
And I like that Madison doesn't even take the apology. She's just like, yeah.
I know. I was like, excuse me, Madison. Excuse me. Yeah. Don't make it hard for me to support you.
Yeah. So then Cameron comes in and is like, where's Catherine? She's late? That is crazy. And so they start gossiping. Patricia's like, I heard she had a boyfriend. So they all start gossiping about who this guy is. And Danny's like, yeah, he's a politician. She goes, oh, dear. Not a politician.
Yeah. And then they, of course, start looking up, like, his, like, not really a dick pics, but, like, close to dick pics, because there's that picture of him where he's, like, in front of a sink, and, like, it's sort of, like, obscuring his shaft, but you can sort of see, like, the upper creases. And Mass is like, his penis looks like a Ken doll. I'm like, you know there's, like, more penis behind the cabinet, right? Like, at the counter, right? Like, it keeps going.
Well, because he does that thing because he shaves everything down there. Yeah. So they're just showing, like, his fupa right above his wee-wee. And she's like, what is that? It's like, people in the South aren't used to guys grooming and making an effort.
I know.
She's like, what is that?
Meanwhile, Patricia puts on her readers and is like, give it back to me right now. And she's just, like, staring at him.
Yeah, she's like, I need my big iPad.
I've seen better Ken dolls in my time.
So they're all being, you know, they're all grossed out, and Catherine comes over with Gwen from Gwen's.
Yeah. She's actually named Madison, so I was thinking we could call her other Madison, but we should just call her Gwen's, because she's just Gwen's.
Just call her Gwen's. Gwen's. Yeah, she doesn't say anything.
Yeah. Until she says something, she's Gwen's.
Yeah. All she says is like 50% off. It's like, okay, Gwen's.
Brand new items in our artichoke section.
Gwen is like, bad news, everybody. We're out of artichoke dishes.
But we have a wonderful new pineapple division.
That's the boys' party. So Catherine's like, Danny, do you want to erm for a second? And Danny's like, yeah. Because Danny's so uncomfortable. She's like, remember when I had a good friend?
Well, but before that happens, though, as soon as Catherine comes in, Patricia's like, so you have a new beau. As if, like, oh, it's a spontaneous thought, as if they hadn't just been looking at this guy's, like, sort of dick pic, like, a second ago. And Catherine's like, yeah, he and I have apparently broken up. He's not who I thought I was, so I see where you guys were coming from.
Yeah, she's like, you were right. And, yeah, Danny's like, I told you. So they go out and have a talk, and Danny's like, I'm emotionally exhausted. There, I'm saying it right now. It's even the name of my new painting. It's an exterior shot, of course, of a plantation, but one of the trees looks really sad. So I guess thanks for that.
Yeah, just like, I mean, what you said to me at the pillow party was shocking. Like, why would you go there? Like, you can't go there all the time, okay? You just can't. It's like going to Shep's apartment. You just can only go so many times before you develop mold in your lungs, okay?
Yeah. And Catherine's just like, yeah, but you brought up shit on the girls' trip, and I didn't like that because it's like baggage that you're just throwing on the table. And I'm thinking, what the fuck, Danny?
Yeah.
And
I only accept Amazon Prime on the table, not baggage.
Yeah. And it's like, people are always judging me because I was someone that, I was with someone that maybe made, okay, I definitely made me a little crazy. And then we get a clip of Catherine being crazy.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, I mean, I did go to rehab for 3 years and lose my kids. So I get your worry, but come on, lady.
Yeah. So everything's fine. They're friends again. And then Michael rings like this dinner gong. It's like, dinner is served.
And they just both look at each other like, geez. And she's like, oh, God, I hope she doesn't think I'm out here causing drama.
Madison, you're here. Catherine, you're here. Cameron, you're here. Gwen's cutout lady telling me about sales. You're over on, you just sit in the bench in the kitchen. I don't know who you are. You go over there.
Enjoy these napkins. They were owned by the King of Bavaria.
And everyone's like, they are huge. And thankfully, if you're a Bravo watcher, you know why they're huge. Because you would wipe your mouth and move along and wipe your mouth and move along. Thank you, Sonia Morgan, for teaching us about that.
I know. Bravo, you know, teaches us a lot of things. We've officially gone through giant napkin school, thanks to Bravo.
Yeah, we are all the more educated. So then Chelsea's like, what's this dipping sauce? That's when Patricia goes, Aioli.
Now, nobody here knows how to eat an artichoke, which is weird.
Weird.
I didn't. Yeah.
I agree. I was like, what? First of all, you guys are too old to not have had done this before. Second of all, it's also really easy. Right?
Yeah, but no one has ever had an artichoke. Maybe it's not like a Southern thing. I don't know. I mean, it was a Southern thing to us, but I have no idea. But I was like, wow, not one of you knows how to eat an artichoke.
I feel like you could literally, like, pick it up and just watch Patricia do it once, and you've figured out how to do it. Patricia's like, okay, no, only the meat at the tip. No, you don't have to put the whole thing in your mouth. No, don't turn it into a bow. No, just put it in and pull. No, don't push. Don't turn half, Queens lady. No.
All right, you just bit your finger off. Not like that. There's like blood going everywhere. How do you do this?
Take it out of your water glass. Take it out of your water glass. Dip it in the aioli. Oh, you almost got it. Now you hit the table.
Don't comb your hair with it.
No, it's not to be used for a mustache, Chelsea. No, take that off. Now I see you made sunglasses out of two of them. That's very cute. Not how you eat them.
Well, she's like, so stupid people. You know, it's funny because when I do the guys' dinner party, they're raucous and, dare I say, fun. But you guys are just, you're reserved. What's wrong with you? And Cameron's like, you know what? It's because we're sober. Let's do some shots, right? Yeah. Let's get shit-faced. She's like, well, what do you want to do? Tequila?
Yeah. Patricia's like, sure, fine. So they all do shots. And Pequila's like, Pequila. Patricia's like, quite frankly, I'd always wondered what taking a shot was like. I prefer a martini.
So then Cameron asks Madison if she's done with Austin, and she's like, well, we're apart. And Chelsea's like, yeah, you know what you need? A real man. He ain't no real man. You need a real man. Like, well, have fun with that, because Madison is immediately going to Austin and telling him that you said that. So have fun with your next fight.
Yeah, so basically they start saying that Austin has been manipulated into Shep's lifestyle, and so sort of like he's brainwashed. And Patricia's like, well, you know, so that men don't grow up, and I'm not including Whitney in this because he's always worked. All the girls just look at each other like,
Everyone just looks at each other for a while. And Chelsea's like, well, that is a big deal, I guess, but I've never had the option not to work. And all the girls are like, me too.
Artichoke too. You got it wrong. Sorry, branding.
It started here.
Someone call Alyssa Milano.
Milano. She's like, I am standing for every artichoke in this country. But thank you, Alyssa.
Alyssa Milano's like, you know, you're really degrading a very important movement right now. And, you know, at the same time, I actually really support yours, too. So,
yeah. Who's, like, going to be against artichoke, too?
I don't know anyone who'd be against artichoke, too, to be honest.
Artichoke, too. Anything you can dip in butter, I think will bring this country.
Anything that could be married with spinach and cheese, I'm for it. Listen. can't be mean to Artichoke. They have hearts.
Yeah, so Cameron jumps in to stand up for Shep and say, I don't think he meant to hurt you. With Shep, I just think there's something wrong. Like, there's an underlying issue that he's very, very angry about. Like, yes, you're right. Getting old and getting less pusese, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because Madison tells them that Shep called her white trash hairstylist. So Madison goes, well, maybe he's still bitter from when I declined him when I was still married. And, you know, obviously I couldn't be with him because, you know, I was married. I was like, oh, everyone was like, oh, yeah.
And everybody started like cracking up.
And there it is right there.
Madison just so calmly earning her spot this season. Yes. I love it.
Yeah. By the way, where was Eliza Limehouse at this dinner? I really feel like Eliza Limehouse, they, like, all the scenes we've been seeing were shot way afterwards, and they've, like, been sprinkling them into the season, right? Don't you get that feeling?
I'm not really sure what's going on with Eliza. I think that they were like, okay, that lady has a positive attitude after a near-death experience. She's fired!
Yeah.
Get the white trash hairdresser girl in here.
Yeah, so then Michael serves little finger bowls, and Cameron's like... Patricia, what's this? She's like, finger bowl. Not to be confused with aioli.
And Chelsea's like, this is so extra. She's like, well, it has hand-blown Czechoslovakian rose petals at the bottom. Chelsea goes, Miss Pat, you are something else.
All right, Chelsea, take your tongue out of that bowl. It's for your fingers now. Get it out. No, you're not a dog. Chauncey has better manners than you.
Cameron's like, if Shep doesn't ever get married, can you just divide all this stuff up for us? And Danny asks, what if Whitney marries Catherine? And she's like, well, I heard rumors to that effect, but I wouldn't be happy. At least it would guarantee me a grandbaby.
Yeah. Catherine's like, oh my God, this is awkward. Yeah. This is really, really awkward.
But so, you see Catherine like counting the artichoke dishes in her head. She's like, wow. What am I going to do with all these artichoke dishes?
I know. So now we see Shep go to a store that is really so appropriate for Shep. It's called Doolittle's. And he's... oh, it's Shep's, my career.
Shep's autobiography.
Yeah. It's his resume, Doolittle. So he's still really getting this dog named Craig. So he goes up to the lady working there. It's just another one of these poor women... in Charleston, who has to, like, endure Shep and Craig and Austin. And he's like, gosh, I'm getting a dog named Craig. Oh, I need to get some stuff. And she's just looking at him. She's like a little Anna Kendrick type. And she's just looking at him like, this fucking asshole. He doesn't even remember that he drunkenly hit on me last night. No, we don't have vanilla lattes here. That's a different store with a different woman.
Yeah, idiot. So, Craig and Catherine and Austin meet up for ice cream. The gang goes out to have some ice cream together.
Before that, I just want to say that since Shep is getting all this like doggy stuff, he's like, he's talking about his dog, Craig. He's like, oh, it's an homage and a jab at Craig because I already own one Craig. So now I can own two. Oh, now two Craigs cost me money. Oh, I'm so obstinate right now.
Was that ornery of me? Gosh.
Yeah. Just more piling on. Just more Shep piling on to Craig. I thought it needed to be brought to the podcast.
Yeah, I just stopped typing. I was like, that's where I'm at with Shep scenes. I'm like, ugh. So then we go to Craig, Catherine, and Austin. And Austin's like, well, camping didn't work out that well, you know? And Craig's like, yeah. And then Nashville, Whitney just shut me right up. And he's like, yeah. Like, he said he didn't know what I was talking about. I was like, dude, like, I don't even care about this. Like, they're just basically bitching about Whitney, right?
Yeah.
And then they bring up that Austin brings up that Whitney won't even admit to banging Catherine. And
right.
Catherine's like, Jesus Christ. Like, this is the first time we've heard this. This has been happening for years.
Yeah. Austin also says, Shep got very ornery, which is like, funny because Austin's just basically taking big words he heard from like Shep and Whitney.
Shep.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, oh God, I'm so sick of those guys manipulating me.
They're so obstinate. I'll have a stag's leap, please. We should also mention that like it's apparently like really cold out and Craig walks in like a polo shirt and they're like, where is your jacket, Craig? This is ridiculous. And Craig's like, oh yeah, I left it in the car. It's like he like got out of a car and was like cold and he was like, Oh, well, can't go back into the car to get the jacket. I guess this is just my fate.
Yeah, I'm going to freeze to death. I'm going to bury it. I'm going to dig a hole right here. Catherine, you want to join me?
She's like, Craig, we're in the middle of a coffee shop. Okay, I'll be there in a second.
We got lost, Erm. So
just under the table, huddled.
She's like, I don't know. She's like, everyone knows. I don't know why he needs to deny it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why does everyone have to deny sleeping with Catherine? That's the question. She's like the youngest, hottest one there.
Yeah.
Like, why?
And she's very upfront about it. So it's not even like slut shaming or anything. It's just like they're just talking about what happened.
Yeah, it's like reverse. I mean, it's not reverse slut shaming. It's like a different kind of slut shaming.
It's like,
you know what I mean?
Slut. That's not. It's like slut.
Slut
embracing.
Denying. Slut denying.
Slut denying. Yes. So, yeah. So now Austin's talking about Madison, and he's talking about how Shep called her, you know, white trash hairstylist, etc. Which, you know, they're like, whoa. And basically, Austin reveals that he hung out with Madison last night.
Yeah, and Craig gets so mad. He's like, what? But you're broken up. How are you supposed to stay broken up?
Craig,
people who are broken up don't hang out. Like, breaking up is
say,
here, and hanging out is here.
Craig, I didn't say we weren't broken up, okay? I just said we're hanging out, Craig. It's ridiculous. You're insane. You're an insane person right now, Craig.
What's the difference? Like, why does this have to be so complicated? He's like, why are you making it so complicated, Craig?
Which is true. Why does everyone care? Who cares? I've never known guys to care like this.
I think that basically Craig happened to have just watched the Nancy Meyers film It's Complicated the night before. He's like, oh, so that's what complicated is. Guys, it's complicated.
Meryl Streep's all making a chocolate croissant. That was the best part.
That
mean,
was
I will never
the
forget
best.
That scene when Meryl Streep just goes to make a chocolate croissant
in the
all
middle
night.
Of the night.
I mean, that's love right there.
Yeah, such a shitty movie, but great food porn. And
how dare
and
you, that was not a shitty movie?
You know what? The first time I saw I've actually seen it twice. I saw it twice. The first time I saw it, I was like, you know what? This movie was actually really good, and it was funny. And then the second time I saw it, I was like, I hate this movie now. It was so weird. I had, like, it works once, and the second time I was like, everything is wrong with this movie.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
So Craig's like, well, Austin's a pussy, and that's all I can say. And Austin's like, what do you want me to say? I missed her, and I'm disappointed that I let myself be brainwashed by those guys. Like, oh, my God. You're a cheater and an asshole, okay? No one brainwashed you into anything. And I'm not going to feel anything for you or these guys. Grow a pair.
Yeah, grow a pair. And that's basically where it ended up. It's basically Austin is mad at Shep and Craig and Danny for getting into his head, and he wants to be his own man and go back to a dysfunctional relationship, which is great. Great. Looks like the future is bright. For him.
So tonight we will be back here doing a Real Housewives of New York finale video. So come join us for that. Streaming again. Thank you for everybody who joined us on our live stream and is watching this on video. Hi, we appreciate the support.
Hi, we can't wait. Oh my God, I'm so sad. The season finale of New York tonight. That is really devastating. But we will get through it together. Okay.
And then next week is the Independence Day week. So Woo-hoo! We are going to be here for a lot of podcasts, but we won't be doing Southern Charm next week because that recap would be on the 4th. And guess what? We're celebrating America.
Yeah.
So instead, we are going to do a full Southern Charm NOLA recap in its place. So go watch Southern Charm New Orleans. If you're not watching it, it's a really fun, good show this year. They're doing a great job.
Yeah, everyone's loving it. People are super into it. I mean, including us. So yeah, go, you know what? Or even better, just subscribe to our podcast, and then you will see the episodes come automatically to your device, and then you'll see what we're recapping, and you can watch accordingly.
Yeah. Okay, everybody, thanks so much for being here. We
Bye.
Will talk to you next time, everybody.
Bye.
This is Fuse Tea in 3D. Mouth-watering fruit, perfectly fused with botanicals and tea. Serve yourself a little me time with Fuse Tea. Listen to our ASMR Mind Tingles podcast.